shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Oh, high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
You love him tonight.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. What a presence tonight. Good to be in the presence of the Lord in the middle of the week when all this chaos is going on all around the world. Okay. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Had to talk to my brother-in-law for a minute. Yeah. For just a second. What very much. Good to be here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Sorry, Brother Bob's not here today, but he has quarantined himself and his family, so they're doing okay. We talked to him this afternoon, and I said we. Me and Brother Terrence talked to him this afternoon, and he's in good spirits, and I think it's going through the whole family except Brother Zach Black, because I think he had it previously. So just keep him in your prayers and let this thing get out of here. Yes. Amen. Just something you got to go through, folks. Just something. It's something. It's for us. See what I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay. All right. So if you got your Bibles, let's go. We're going to start again with back with the two spirits. We're finished with the speaking on the why does the heathen rage, but I want you to I want you to understand one thing. They're not going to stop raging. This is the beginning, as Brother Dale said, this is the beginning of the end. Everything's getting in place. Everything's getting in position. I was talking to Brother Claude a few minutes ago, and you know, he having the virus and all, and people want to, if you don't have a desire, this virus or this, or your tummy ache or your big toe hurts, keeps you out of church. That's what me and Brother Claude were talking about. God's going to find out, and I'm not God, God knows, but you're going to find out if you got, like your daddy always said, if you got the stuff. He always talked about having the stuff. And it ain't at the picnic you find out if you got the stuff. It's at the battle. It's when you find out if you got the stuff. He's talking about having the baptism of the Holy Ghost to keep you and to get you from point A to point B. Didn't he say I will lead you and guide you into all truth? All right. So this is a shaking time. It's going to tell whether we got it or not. And then you're going to be one of these two seeds that we're talking about are the two spirits, two seeds. But tonight we're going to speak on the four horse riders. Because remember, Brother Branham tells us in the seals, he said, thank God for the opening of these seals, for the many different doctrines. He preached Why Am I Against Organized Religion in 1959. But he said in the seals was revealed, he said, I know now why I hate that thing. The denominational spirit. Why? He saw it in those horse riders. But we're going to see if we can pick them out a little bit in the book of Genesis and still continue on with the two twins. But we're going to background just a little bit since we hadn't been speaking on this in a couple weeks. So just bear with me. 1 John 4, verse 1. And let's bow our heads just for a moment. Remember, Pastor Appreciation, bring your cards, bring your gifts, whatever you got next Sunday for Pastor Appreciation Sunday. I'll be speaking so he can relax a little bit more. And truly remember Brother Bob. Remember Brother Aaron will be in Mobile this weekend. And Brother Luis will be in Jacksonville this weekend. Right, Brother? Okay. Just remember them as they travel. and go and minister the gospel to these places. Thank goodness we can still go. Not like Brother George Quinn, that they can only go 2 miles in Ireland. 2 miles. Think how you would be if you only could go 2 miles. I couldn't hardly get gas. Yeah, couldn't go Walmart. Goodness. What'd you bring that up for? But you know what? We don't know what's coming. We don't know what this next thing coming up. We just need just pray God will do for his bride. I promise you. But I'm telling you, we're going to find out who's got it and who don't. I was thinking today, I was reading in the book of Luke about Ananias and Sapphira. Brother Ram said there'd be an Ananias and Sapphira in the end time, which meant it's not that people just going to drop dead. Could, but they're going to spiritually die right in the middle of a church service and never be able to recover again. Never be able to recover again. That's what, to me, the Ananias and Sapphira experience is that you bring iniquity into, they brought iniquity in. They knew they shouldn't have done that, and they did it anyway. So we just need to keep our minds clear, keep our hearts clear, keep our conversation clear, keep everything clear. Like I said, with Brother Luis was talking the other night, you know, you just can't, you need to keep it clean, keep it clear. If you got something against somebody, you better go talk to them. Somebody got something against you, go talk to them. Do something. Don't just let it fester, because you know what? It doesn't get any better until you confess. Never will it get any better until you confess your sins or confess your faults, the Bible says, one to another. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for this evening that you give us. I pray, Lord, that you would take the words that we have put together on this paper and, Lord, just weave it through the heart of your bride. Lord, may it never leave us. May it, Lord, be something that even if we come to a place we can't meet, that, Lord, we'll have enough, as you told the prophet, to store up the food. Well, now, Lord, these buildings are not storehouses, but we are the storehouse of the living God. And, Lord, we need to pack that food in as much as we can. As the time approaches, Lord, that we don't know what's going on, but we know you hold tomorrow, Lord. You're the one that orchestrated this from the foundation of the world. You knew by foreknowledge what would go on, and you made a way for your little bride, Father. We thank you for that. Be with the sick ones that are among us here. Also be with Brother Bob and his family, the different ones that are struggling with the virus. The list coming from Brother Dutch is getting so long of different ones. Lord, we pray that you would just minister to each one, Father. And we'll have faith that it'll rise up, Lord, that we'll not have to worry about this virus in your little bride. But, Father, we have to go through these things. We pray that you would sanctify us for this journey. You've already pressurized us. Now I pray that you'll sanctify us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? So now let's 1 John 4, verse 1. And if you've not been here for a while, in the church for a while. Brother Dale preached on the seals way back in the 80s, but he also preached in 95 and the different times about matching pieces, but he also preached about the seals in Genesis. So we're just kind of redoing and renewing and not redoing. You can't redo something that's so good. You can't redo the Word of God. But we're going to bring it back to our attention because I feel that that's why the seals opened. The seals opened to break those two seeds apart. Because they were so close. Brother Brown, many times, thank God for the opening of the seals. Why? He could see then, because remember, he preached the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost in his earlier ministry. Mighty conqueror. I was just reading it just a few minutes ago. Even in the seals, he said, I'd have made a horrible mistake if I'd have went by my notes. What? The notes were that white horse rider must have been white, so it must have been the Holy Ghost. No, that was that deceiver that had slid in under the Garden of Eden and hid himself in religion and in us. Okay, so let's go through this real quick. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Whether they are of God. That's what's happening now, I believe. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. I really appreciate Brother Branham. As many times as I hear Brother Branham preach on one God and line it up correct, I like to hear him just continue to tell us about one God. What he said, you know, when we were sitting here, you know, listening, I believe that was that kind of got us in the mind that Jesus Christ is Almighty God, but he had positions that he had to fulfill. Not one like your finger, but not three like your finger. He said he pulled them two together and planted that tree, and it became a great tree, which is a revelation of one true and living God. And you know what? You're a part of that. Don't forget, you're a part of all that. You're a part of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You're a part of Jesus Christ. Not a separate person. A part of Jesus Christ. Amen? So every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's go through the two quotes that we've been quoting now for some time, and let's get our hearts and minds back together on the two seeds. The two seeds that are not like this, they've grown up together.
Right.
Amen. They've grown up together. Brother Branham said they've intertwined.
Right.
We'll read that in a little bit. So let's bring up the first quote in the exposition of the church ages. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church, defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Now what did it do in the church ages? That's where your horse riders were riding in those church ages. Hello. They were there they were in the Garden of Eden. This is not something new. They were just exposed or brought to the forefront. When Brother Branham broke, when the seals broke to the prophet, he could see where that rider came from and where it was going. All right? So making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Do you read a few minutes? Did you hear what Brother Branham said? Remember, a Father, Son, Holy Ghost is not, it has no power.
Right.
Titles have no power.
Right.
Names have power. But he gave them a little wink or a little nod through the church ages, because what did Brother Branham say? Remember he was saying there, I wish we'd do it over again. He said, why does that woman act the way she does? She hadn't been taught. So down through the church ages, yes, there was a true bride. There was a true Holy Ghost-filled bride. But they had no idea that they were actually working part of the way in Satan's domain. Because remember, Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism never, ever came out of the mind of God. Never was a part of God. That came from the pits of hell, the prophet of God said. But he allowed men because of the teaching. That's why Brother Brown had to come. Brother Brown had to come and teach us.
Right.
And it separated the two seeds.
Amen?
Amen? Right. It exposes Satan. See, he hadn't been exposed like he's been exposed now.
That's right. Amen.
This is the hour.
Right. Exactly.
He's going to be so exposed, what's he going to do? He's going to be driven out of us and go into the beast. And the world system and all the different things that you see coming up now with all this new stuff coming up. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word.
Right.
Now, what did Satan do to Eve? He didn't say it's not right.
Right.
He didn't say, now, Eve, God's a liar. He added one word to what God had already said. That was it. One word. And the discrediting of God's word. To discredit God's word is to be off one word.
Amen.
Right down to the time he is cast into the lake of fire, he fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is, what is she? She's the sinless, spotless, no wrinkle bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? We got to start realizing that that's not what we're coming to. That's what we are. Amen? And what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. Now, where did he see when that white horse rider came up that day when the revelation came? Brother Branham was in the room, and he was getting ready to preach his old notes that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. And what would that have done? That would have exalted Satan, just like it did in the Garden of Eden. It would have exalted Satan to a position that he wanted, but God wouldn't let the prophet do it.
Amen. Glory.
Thank God.
Yes, sir.
He wouldn't let the prophet do it.
Right.
So what did that do? It exposed Satan to being the white horse rider.
Right.
So we're going to see that in a little bit. Because remember, it's a spirit. It's a spirit of Antichrist. We read that right here in 1 John 4. It's a spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Like I said before, don't try to stamp names on people. It's spirits we're fighting against, not people. Okay? So if you hear a certain brother preach error, pray for the brother. Because he has been what? He has been anointed by a wrong spirit. Not that, and he may not be wrong. He may not be wrong. He may have the actual baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what in the end time that the problem is. Is that you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and preach error.
Right.
But you won't continue to do it if you're exposed to the truth.
That's
why Brother Brown had to preach those seals. It exposed the truth and the error.
Right.
Amen? Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
So keep in your mind now that the four horse riders are what? The white horse, the black horse, or the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse. Has everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
And then there were four combat beasts, lion, ox, man, and eagle, that combated those four horses. Everybody got that? Say amen. Because listen, that's what we got to combat. Because remember, when those four horse riders disappear, that means you and I have also disappeared. We're gone. We're not on the earth anymore after that. That's why the rapture takes place there on the fourth seal. We've been in that. We may get into it later on. If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. Let's read number 2. Did you get that now? Get it now. There are those twins again. We were speaking on twins, which is Cain and Abel. We're going right back to them again. There are those two trees again, growing side by side in the same earth.
Right.
What earth is he talking about?
Right.
This earth right here.
Right.
Oh no, the devil ain't nowhere. You're a liar. Because he still plays with this thing right here all the time. Can't get your soul if you're born again. But those two trees are right there in your Garden of Eden. Working in your spirit realm, telling you right now that somebody is doing something wrong, and this one's saying something, this one, you understand what I mean? This is his playground. Why? Because that's the first womb, as Brother Dale was talking about Sunday, that's the first womb that he entered in the Garden of Eden, was this womb right here. All right? So now look, but God, you know, God chose the heart. I know that. But Brother Brown said it's got to come in here first, then drop down, because we all are feminine brothers and sisters. So we have a spiritual womb, which is right here, your soul, your heart, the heart of you. There are those two trees again growing side by side in the same earth. Partaking of the same nourishment. Do you know Satan is partaking of the same nourishment when he walks in here? He is a worship angel. He is not some evil something, but yes, he is. But he's so slick that he can come in and he can sit right here with you and just whisper things in your ear. Oh, let's just worship God, but forget about the preaching. Let's worship God and let's talk. No, he didn't say that right. He's wrong here and he's wrong there. You understand what I mean? If he doesn't do you that way, please pray for me. Please pray for me. I mean, really. It's a battle.
Amen.
Drinking in the same rain. What is rain? The washing of the water of the word. But remember, it doesn't go in the people that don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But you that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that water goes inside of you. You're washed by the water of the word. You're what? You're clean and set aside for service. Even being sanctified, even with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's a day of sanctification. We know that. Amen? And benefit by the same S-O-N. Oh, S-U-N. S-O-N. I was reading in Luke. If you're reading in Luke, remember, Judas Iscariot had a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was counted. Peter stood up and said he was counted as one of us.
Amen.
Preachers as brothers.
Right.
Until he did what he did.
Right.
So he preached the word of God. He preached the message of the hour.
Right. Right.
Healed the sick.
Right.
Raised the dead. But remember, he never went to Pentecost. So what did he do? His reign was falling on the outside. The anointing was falling on Judas. It never had a chance to go in Judas because he went and hung himself before he could get to Pentecost. Now watch, that's the same spirit that came off of Cain. But Cain turns around and kills Abel. Judas turns around and kills Jesus. You understand what? We'll get to that in just a second, okay? But they came from different seeds. One tree is for the word of God, exactly as God give it, and loves it, and what? Obeys it. The other tree is from the seed that is anti the word of God, and changes it where it wants to. It substitutes its own creeds and dogmas for the living, true word, exactly as did who? Cain, who ended up killing Abel. Listen, Cain didn't kill Abel because he didn't like him. He didn't agree with Cain's doctrine.
Right.
We'll get to that in just a few minutes. But fear not, little flock. Stay with the word. Keep that word between you and the devil. Eve did not do that, and she failed.
Right.
And when the church lets down on the word, she goes into the depths of the darkness of Satan.
Right.
The depths of the darkness of Satan. This is the darkest hour that's ever been. Why is it the darkest hour? We've got the greatest message that ever hit the face of the earth. Why is it dark? Because God's blinded the eyes. One word off. Not all this denomination. We'll get to that in just a second when we get into the horse riders. The law of reproduction. Let's continue on. I just want to get your mind back into the furrow of the ground that we've been plowing in. Let me tell you something. I have felt horrible for a month. Not COVID horrible. But I have had just problems after problems. Last Sunday, I had to hold on to the pulpit. Or Sunday before last, I hold on to the pulpit just to keep from falling over. I've had these real dizzy spells and I have all these different weaknesses, spells, and all stuff like that. But I feel good today.
Amen.
You got to go through this, man. You got to push your way through this.
Amen.
You can lay down if you want to. But I choose to keep going.
Amen.
You choose to keep going. Quit. Don't quit.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly turn my head without grabbing a hold of something. But my blood pressure was fine and everything else is good. It's just the old Diablo. Right, Louis?
Right.
Just the Diablo, the devil.
Yeah.
But I feel good tonight. Law of reproduction. Now remember, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. So every seed has to bring forth of its kind.
Amen.
And yes, when I was doing your mother's funeral also, I couldn't hardly stand up on that pulpit. But you know what? We went through it. We got through it just fine. And you need to still pray for the family there. They're beautiful family, man. She's just I learned enough about her mom to know what kind of person she was, and never met her a day in my life. But as I said before, it took God breaking that ointment of that alabaster box so that we could smell the fragrance of Sister Barbara. And I see it through the kids, see. You see it through your kids. And it was wonderful. The funeral was wonderful. Yes, it's a wonderful time when you can see somebody that's went from death to life in their soul. And they ain't going to die no more. But you can still smell the fragrance of her as she walks through the earth, and their children and the grandchildren. They all did a real good job speaking of their grandma. So I thank God for that I was a part of it, and I appreciate that. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed. So every seed must bring forth of its kind. Satan knew that, so he knew if he could get into the mind of Eve, then get into the womb of Eve, that God would have to make that seed come to life.
Amen.
A human and human makes a human. Okay? It was just that Satan couldn't use Adam, so he used the second best thing. He used the beast, which could coincide with Eve, and they could produce a Cain. Now, Genesis 1:26 is the same law of reproduction. And God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. But remember, in Genesis 1:26-28, even verse 28, go down to 28, says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it. You think, man, these just never was it sexual.
Right.
Never was it sexual. It was always going to be spoken word, seed, children. Because
right.
How did Jesus come? Even though he came through a womb, it was spoken word, seed, children. Amen. So you and I, now, because of our first birth, we're dying. But by our second birth, which has nothing to do with humanity, it's all the spoken word of God. One day God spoke the word and it materialized inside of you. How simple is that? But so profound that the world can't see that was God bringing his children into being.
Glory.
Total part of God, not a different substance.
Right.
That's God in another form we know now called a bride. It took a prophet to tell us that was a bride. Not every, because you know what? All denominations, because of their teaching, thinks this is all mankind. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Well, that must be all mankind. You read a lot of commentaries where they say that is all mankind. That is not all mankind. That's his own self being made manifest in another form called the bride. Then we see in Genesis 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. I'm working towards something here. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground he made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant. Now remember in Genesis 2:7, what did he do? He then formed the human part of man and put the Genesis 1:26 man into the man named Adam.
Right. That's right.
Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right? So what is Jesus Christ? He is the second Adam that doesn't need a woman. Hold on. Hold on. He does. But he doesn't need to plant a seed in a woman to reproduce you by the new birth.
Right.
It's by man we live, by woman we die.
Right.
Amen? Now, Brother Brown, that's a quote Brother Brown tells us that. But remember, that woman was deceived. But remember, right here, look, he brings the separation, colon. This is his thought. Sure, he brought every tree so that Adam and Eve could eat. There was fruit in the garden they were eating. Eating food, okay? But now these two are not trees to eat off of as we know how to eat.
Right.
It's spiritually eating.
Right.
The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they were right there in the garden side by side, which was, if you want to say it, I'll say it. If you don't want to say it, then it was Jesus Christ or Christ standing there and Satan standing there.
Right.
And in one point, Brother Brown says it was Eve.
Right.
was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because that's what she partook of. And once she partook of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, then what? They died. We all died, right? Everybody got that? Say amen. 1 Timothy 2, verse 12. I know I'm treading water here, but I'm trying to get to something. But I suffer not a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Right. Now look at this deception, though. The reason I'm still bringing this out, that deception continues on till today.
Right.
Because Brother Bram said, Eve still thinks she's right. So it's the same spirit, the same horse riders that are riding through the denominational world. You say, oh, that's Methodist. But that's me and you if we have our own creeds different from the Word of God. So don't just, let's just don't push it outside. Remember, Brother Bram said in the framework of the church. He's talking about in this building right here. This building right here. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now look, the word deceived or deception means to cause to accept as true and valid what is false and invalid. Remember what I said before? At Nicaea, Satan was there and God was there. In Nicaea, Rome, 300, excuse me, 300 A.D., they had a meeting. Satan was there and God was there. Doesn't matter how many men, like I said, we're not talking about men. Brother Bram said the prophets were there, them old prophets, they had the bride that had the word of God. They brought the word of God to Nicaea, and Satan was already there. Now look who won. Satan's creeds won over God's because man decided it.
Right.
And God's not going to, he's not going to go over your free moral agency. I'm telling you, he's a gentleman.
Yeah,
right? So the deception was, though, they accepted as true and valid what is false or invalid. God literally had to wink at the ignorance of all of us because of the water baptism we were brought under and the eternal hells and all the different, and even the things in the message, the two souls and the seven thunder, all the different doctrines that's rode through, not here, but ridden through our mind. There's a deception there because you know what? There's only one truth. And there's one error. There's only one truth. That's the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, one true and living God, no eternal hell, all the doctrines that the first church had, but by 300 A.D., it all went away. Sure, I'm sure there was a few that held on, but remember, even Luther and Wesley were Trinitarians. They held on to those doctrines from Nicaea. That was so strong. That horse rider was riding so close till it almost deceived the very elect through those church ages. So don't think it's going to be any different now, folks. It is not going to be any different now. It's just going to be at a higher level. Because we have the major doctrines. You can have all the major doctrines lined up. Even Paul tells us, he said, you can have all the revelation, you can have all that lined up and still not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because I'll promise you, I'll prove it to you. When I was 14 years old, I did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if you can ask some of these that were around me, I could explain what happened in the garden. I could explain there was only one true and living God. I could explain why that water baptism was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I didn't have God in my soul to quicken any of that, to make it alive and make me where I can use it and put it with other scriptures. How many times have you done that? You know, you've been in, boy, come from Methodist. You read a Bible, and then all of a sudden you come in a message, and you read the same Bible, and you go, why didn't I see that before? It's written the same. Listen, I was reading in the book of Luke yesterday morning, and I thought I had found another Bible. Come on. I read two or three scriptures, and I'm like, man, I never see that. And I've read Luke 150,000 times. So have you. Why? It wasn't time for the revelation yet. A lot of things you just read over. A lot of things you read over because you know what? Satan don't want you to know it, number one. But God, you know what God will do? Because he's a good daddy. He'll bring you right back to that place. And he'll show you that. He'll say it was right there all along. It just wasn't time for you to get it. But now in your journey, you need it. What a mighty God we serve. Matthew 6, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, now remember we're looking at the two, we're looking at the true and the false. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? There's your deception. They thought, listen, Caiaphas, reading there in the book of Luke, Caiaphas prophesied. One man should die for the whole nation. He prophesied. He prophesied what was said in the Old Testament. And God honored that. But Caiaphas was one that wanted him hung up on a cross. Look at the deception. That's why Jesus kept telling them. He said, if you'd have known Abraham, if you'd have known Moses, you keep quoting all these different quotes, if you'd have known them, you would have known me.
Right.
Look at number three, position of a believer in Christ. Let's just read the red part. Eve actually thought she was right, but Satan deceived her. But he didn't deceive Adam.
Right.
He knew it was wrong. But because of the love for his wife, he represented himself with sin and was condemned by the same. Now, didn't Jesus Christ do the same thing? Sinless Jesus Christ took on your sin and cast, and then now let me requote, and cast out of the Garden of Eden. Look at number four. What does it take to make a Christian life? The woman was actually deceived down at the bottom. Adam was not. He knew what he was doing. Eve actually thought she was right. She was getting some what? New light. Now that light was darkness. That wasn't light. That wasn't the true light, as in John says, the true light that came into the world was Jesus Christ. Some new light that Satan was giving her. He's still giving her new light. Right? Now, I didn't bring this quote, but I remember Brother Branham said they had a Holy Ghost veil over their eyes to be naked and not be able to have any kind of sensation or emotion. But when Eve stepped out from under that, she still thought she was doing right, but she stepped into a lust veil to where, you know what happened. She had relations with the beast, and therefore she had relations also with Adam. So she had two literal human seeds inside of her. You understand what I mean when I said human seeds? I know one of them was a beast, but she had two literal seeds inside of her. So watch this in Genesis 3:14. Says, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity, or division, or put a separation between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Number five, in oneness. Now notice, the woman was not a seed. Remember, a woman doesn't have a seed. I will put enmity between thy seed and the serpent's seed, telling her what he was going himself to give her a seed, not through intercourse, sexually. He's going to create in her a seed.
Glory.
Well, you say, would that be his seed? Yes, it would belong to Mary, then after he give it to her. This is my eye, God give me this. It's my eye, God give it to me. This is my hand, he gave it to me. This is my voice. But he give it to me, see, the seed was, Mary had nothing to do with Mary. It was something God did himself. So the seed that was in her, now this is, he's talking about Eve now, he switches a little bit here. So the seed that was in her then was a union of an unlawful act, which was death. She was already pregnated with the serpent seed, because she had lived with the, and she turned and said herself, the serpent beguile me, that's right, and immediately came, come on. All we know, she said she got a child from God, certainly, every child that's born. Remember, she still thought she was right. Illegitimate and anything else has to come from an act of God. Satan knew that. He knew God had to honor his word. See, Satan is not a dummy. He's a very, very good adversary. But remember, Brother Brown said, don't ever go on his ground without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Because he will trap you. All right, so the seed that was in her then was the union of unlawful act, which was death. She was already pregnated with the serpent seed because she had lived with the, in other words, she lived with the beast. And she turned and said, the serpent beguiled me. That's right, and immediately came, come on. All we know, she had to get a child from God. Certainly, every child that's born, illegitimate or anything else, has to come by an act of God. He's the only one who can make life.
Glory.
See, she was already to be mother, and that never, only what it did was clear up the thing of the serpent seed. The seed that's in you now is by conception. This is God. When he says, I'll put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman, this is what he's saying, as Brother Bram's talking here. The seed that's in you now is by conception. In other words, an unlawful act against my word with this thing here. Talking about the beast. And you now got the serpent seed. But I'll give you a seed by immaculate conception. And his seed shall bruise the serpent's head, and his head shall bruise the heel. Amen. Just let God have it. If it's his word, he'll bring it to pass.
Amen.
All right. So that the seed that was in, he knew that. God knew she took that on, and then she also took Adam's natural seed. But remember, that didn't save her. Again, let me warn you, that actually killed them both.
Right.
And every other person from the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Literally, Cain killed Abel. But if you want to put the blame, you got to go back to put it on Adam. Because when he did what he did, that killed the whole human race.
Right.
Anything by sexual desire from then on had to die a natural death.
Right.
All right. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's get down to the four horse riders here. Look, Genesis 4, verse 1. I brought my old Bible, Brother Donnie, because I got all my cheat sheets in here. Genesis 4, chapter 1. Is everybody okay? It's 8 o'clock. We'll be done in about 30 minutes. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. 30 minutes then. We got 8:02. It'll be 8:32. Here we go. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now look there. There's your... She never changed her doctrine. She still thinks she's right.
Exactly.
Even as you come on a cross, you look. Now, I want you to understand, when we preached this a long time ago, we had a chart, and I couldn't find it. I know Brother Joe could find it. I preached on the ride, where Satan started his ride and God started his ride.
Right.
But if you'll go to James, it says, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin's finished, it brings forth death. So let's look at the four horse riders. Because look, when lust is conceived, look what just happened. It brings forth sin, which was Cain and Abel. Doesn't matter. I know Abel's righteous, but he was born in sin.
Right.
I'm sorry. He's born in sin. Started wrong first to begin with. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin's finished, what did Cain do to Abel? Cain actually physically killed Abel. So let's read this now and go through it real quick. Everybody all right? And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived. Now we know there was two acts. We know that Cain and Abel were a set of twins. And we not know that? We do know that. One was from the beast seed, and when he was born, he probably was a big hairy guy like his daddy was. But he didn't ever see his daddy because God took that daddy out of the way. So Adam had to raise him and Eve. Just the way it was. And he didn't look like Abel. So see, that's the first thing. He didn't even look like his brother. Because that was his half-brother. Because I, you know, you kind of giggle a little bit when people ask, it said that Cain took his wife down to the land of Nod. And then the question came up with Brother Branham. Said, well, who was that? Said, well, it had to be his sister. Well, technically it was his half-sister. Because remember, when the serpent did what he did with Eve, there was no more conception of anything of that line. He turned it into a snake.
Right, right.
So there was no more conception. There was no more brothers or sisters that was born by the beast and Eve.
Right.
That was done away with. Then it was all just Adam and Eve. Well, then it was his half-sister that he took to the land of Nod, which some of y'all are going to right now. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. So look at the two. Look at the two here. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. Who would you have took? Like Brother Dale always says about, we're going to head down through We're going to head down through the Bible and talk about Esau and Jacob and all the different ones. And I was thinking the other day, and I think I may may do a sermon on the unsung hero. You know, you got your ones of faith, Hebrews 11. You got all that great, those great warriors of faith. But what about those people that slide in and do something for God and you never hear no more? Because I was reading there in Luke and somewhere where that the disciples go, there's a guy over here and he's preaching our message. In other words, shouldn't we shut him up? The Lord said, no, let him go. We need more like that. Well, that's an unsung hero. What about the 3,000 downstairs that were from Ethiopia? They were from Babylon. They were from all those different places. When they received the Holy Ghost, the Bible said the 3,000 received the Holy Ghost. They didn't stay in Jerusalem because they weren't Jerusalem people. That didn't sound right. They weren't Jews. Thank you, Jerusalem people. Christine's wanted. She shakes her head every time we do something like that. She's so precise. But what happened? Those 3,000 unsung heroes. Because you know what? They fulfilled what Jesus said, going to all the world and preach the gospel. There was 3,000 little Jesuses, or 3,000 with a message that you never heard another word of about them. But there's your unsung hero that took it to their nation. That woman that went to where? The woman from the well. She went and sold what? She went back to her country and said, come see a man. Well, that changed that woman for the rest of her life. She testified many, many, many times. Those unsung heroes is the ones I want to talk to. The ones that appear in the Bible, but you never hear anymore, and they just keep continue on. You know they took the gospel to the world. Amen? I like those kind of people. I like the great heroes, but I like those little ones that kind of pop up. And like Salmon, you never hear nothing of Salmon. He's a great general, you know, and he's a great fighter in Joshua's army. And all of a sudden, he marries Rahab. And buddy, here goes Obed, Jesse, David, Solomon, and all down the line. And he just pops up one day and meets this prostitute. What about God? What a mighty God we serve. How he orchestrates all that so we can talk about it and make our tops and shadows. But let's continue on. And the process of time, look, it came to pass. They weren't children when they were talking. They were kind of an adult. Because remember, adulthood in that period of time, you could be 300 or 400 years old and still be a kid. Everybody all right with that? If you lived to be 900 years old, read your Bible. There were several people that was like 140 before they had the first kid. 140? You think they get it right by then? But here's Cain and Abel, though. And you look at Cain, and you look at Abel. Cain's out here sweating in the field like Esau, bringing his produce in and bringing all the different things. And he's making this beautiful altar. Abel's probably up there on the hill, just got probably not a million sheep. He ain't got many because it's the beginning of time. He's got sheep up there, but he's sitting back there, you know, and he's got his arms crossed and a straw sticking in his mouth, a straw of wheat in his mouth, and just watching. And then all of a sudden he gets up and he takes one of the animals. He walks over there. He sets it up on a rock. Doesn't matter. I don't think he makes anything. He just puts it on the flattest rock he can find. And he don't have, Mom, he didn't have no Chicago cutlery. Mama likes Chicago cutlery knives because they cut real good. No, he had a stick. He had probably a stick or a flint or something, you know, and he's over there whacking this thing up and the blood's going everywhere. And Cain's probably rolling his eyes because Cain has got a different attitude. But you got to remember, though, there's going to come a point in time to where God is going to do the separating. You and I can't separate because we look at Cain and we look at Esau and we look at even Judas. All the different ones in the Bible that turned out wrong, we thought, he's the man of the hour. This guy's a Boy Scout. But he was the evil one. But let's let God separate them for us. So here we go. Let's read. You ready? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. What was he doing? He was going to church. He was offering his fruit. He wasn't off somewhere in the bar room. Do you understand what I mean? He wasn't already down in a nod doing things he wasn't supposed to do. No, he was worshiping, doing what he thought was right. And Abel, he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now, right then and there, we see that the doctrine of Abel was correct. Because God accepted it. The offering of Cain was wrong. There's where your split starts. But remember, Cain still thinks he's right. His mama thinks he's right. Cain thinks he's right. Now watch this here, because now we're looking. Look in verse 5. And I've got myself a note. It takes Christ to separate. So see, because Cain and Abel can't separate this. Even Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve's nowhere to be found. In this story, Adam and Eve is not anywhere. So God is dealing with the twins. Because God said, look, in the Bible, capital L-O-R-D in verse 4, so the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, what did the Lord do? The Lord, here comes the separation, but what does he give him first? Wake up! What does he give him first? He gives him grace. God gives you grace first. If thou, and the Lord said unto Cain, capital L-O-R-D, so that's God speaking straight to Cain.
Right, amen.
Okay. Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If, see, look, this is the lion, the boldness of the lion. God is bringing grace to Cain. But now what is this also? This is that white, righteous man fixing to do something. Because Cain still thinks he's right. And he's getting angry about it. And he's going to tell God, as like Brother Brown said, I've got it written in my Bible, Brother Brown said, Cain looked at God and said, take it or leave it. This is all I got. Man, that's kind of bold, isn't it? But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. What? There was iniquity found in Cain. There was iniquity found in his daddy, Satan, knowing to do right and not doing it. Don't you think God tried to tell, he didn't just let Satan go. I believe he tried to tell Satan, don't do that, or Lucifer, don't do this, don't do that. But he got mad, just like this guy's doing the same thing. It's characteristic. So now you see the white horse, because Cain thinks he's right. He thinks he's righteous. He's got some righteous indignation. He's sitting on his white horse. He says, Lord, I'm doing what you told me to do. I'm offering an offering. But if you don't like it, I ain't doing nothing else. That's basically what Cain said. Now watch. So now that white horse is going to, he's going to get off of that white horse, and then he's going to do what? He's going to get on a red horse.
Right.
Everybody got that? Say amen. Amen. White, red, black, pale. Got it? White horse. Brother Branham said that white, righteous church. Cain thought he was right, but he was the devil himself.
Right.
Had anointed him. Everybody got that? Okay. If thou doest well, though, here's grace. Here's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Here is the lion. The word is speaking, telling you, me, Satan, the whole denominational world, if you'll do what I say, everything will be fine. Amen? Accept the word of God and do what he says. If not, then you're riding that white horse. Or he's riding in you. Which is a false doctrine to begin with. So what happens here? And Cain talked with Abel. Now, he didn't just talk to him about the stock market and what his new Chevrolet looked like. I said Chevrolet. And all those different things. Fords weren't, well, they weren't invented back then. But Cain talked with Abel about what went on. Cain talked with Abel about what God just did. Cain talked with Abel about why did he accept your sacrifice and why didn't he accept mine? Why did he consume your sacrifice? Brother Branham even says that God came down and consumed Abel's sacrifice. In other words, he burned it up and took it away. But he had no respect to Cain. And Cain's going, why? What is your problem? Cain never thought it was his. Satan never thinks it's his problem. It's always your problem. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Not because he didn't like him. He hated his doctrine. He hated that God had respect to him. So he got off his white righteous horse and got on the red horse, which is blood. Abel, the Bible says Abel's blood cried out from the ground. Everybody all right? So here's your four horse riders right here in the first part of the book of Genesis. Because remember, when lust is conceived, there's your conception. Because that's two things coming together. Satan brings it to Abel, and Abel says, it was blood. It was blood. Cain says, no, it's the fruit of the ground. Mama told me she ate an apple. Yeah. Denominational mama. You understand what I mean? Because she, listen, Eve knew it wasn't an apple. She's the one who partook. Amen? See how slick the devil is. But he got off his white horse, his white righteous horse, and what happened is just like in the, you look in the seals where he gets off the white horse continues to ride. Right. Amen? Because it's that same white righteous church that rides through Esau.
Right. That's right.
Yep. Yes, that rides through all those different down through the Old Testament. Moses and Dathan and Korah. Thank you. Dathan and Korah. I do need help every once in a while. Dathan and Korah, that thing just keeps riding because they think they're right. Caiaphas got on his white horse. He said, that man ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm God's servant. I'm the man of the hour. You know what? He was. If he'd have done it right. That's why I said Cain, if he would have accepted what God said, you wouldn't have had that problem right there. Same way with me and you, as that white horse rides through me and you. If you don't kill it, it's going to kill you. It's going to manifest. Our conception is going to come forth when lust is conceived. Cain got so lustful, not lustful in like we're talking about, but you can lust for things. Cain was lusting for power. He was actually lusting for somebody to say, you're right, Cain, you're right. You're right. See, that's why they couldn't stand Brother Branham, because they wanted Brother Branham to say, you're right. Or, I'm talking about the denomination, or, can you just compromise just a little bit over here? Can you hear that? And there stands that line of the tribe of Judah inside Brother Branham, and he says, no. No compromise. I will not compromise, because the Holy Ghost had come to a place to where he was not going to compromise anymore. He compromised in the church ages. Sorry. He accepted water baptism like it was. Because of what? The teaching of people. Just because of that right there. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. It had built up so much rage into him until he killed him. What killed Abel, though? His doctrine is what killed him. What kills us if we preach a true doctrine and then somebody turns us down? Brother Bram said, you kill the man's doctrine, you kill the man. But this was physical killing. Even in the dark ages, we see that the red horse, Brother Bram said, that red horse rode through the blood of the saints. because it was literal killing. But remember, this was a literal killing also. This is the red horse riding through Cain's doctrine. It's not a person. He gets in the doctrine, and that doctrine gets in the people. Beware of that it doesn't get into us. So let's continue on real quick. So we've got the white horse, we've got the red horse, and the Lord said unto Cain, "Where's Abel thy brother?" And he lied straight to God. See how when lust is conceived, now listen, hold on a minute, lust is not bad. Hold on a minute. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. You and I were all born under that lust veil that Eve took off for knowledge. We were all born under that. But God made a provision for you and I not to stay underneath that. Because He wants to put that Holy Ghost veil back on you. Because there's your protection. Adam and Eve were protected when they had that Holy Ghost veil over them.
Right.
But when she stepped out from it and put a lust veil on, look what happened.
Right.
He said, "I know not, am I my brother's keeper?" Oh my, saying it directly to God. Lord, look, capital L-O-R-D. This wasn't from a second person or this wasn't from a prophet. God was speaking straight to Cain.
Amen.
God's speaking to me and you same way.
Right.
Amen? All right, let's continue on. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What hast thou done? And the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The voice of all those martyrs. Remember, and you go into the book of Revelations where she has a cup that's full of the blood of martyrs, where Satan, through the doctrine... The doctrine in the Dark Ages, the doctrine that began with what they call the Crusades. You know, the Crusades was nothing more than just, "If you don't agree with me, I'm going to kill you." Well, that's the same thing Cain did. It's the same devil. He never dies until the very end. Thank God. But now watch. "Thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." And now, watch. Now, this is white horse, red horse. Now we're heading to the black horse, because what is the black horse? Now look, the black we know is death, right? But it's not called death until number four.
Right.
Remember, the one that's on the horse is now called death in the fourth stage, not the third stage.
Right.
Third stage is black.
Right.
"And now art thou cursed from the earth." You're cursed. When lust is conceived, brings forth sin. When sin's finished, we're going to read in a minute that this really simple subject tonight is going to come down to where the Bible says, "And Cain walked away from the presence of the Lord." There's your death. Not your black horse. We know that's coming to death. But it's not called death until the fourth stage.
Right,
"And now art thou cursed." Now what? See, now look, God didn't kill Cain. He actually puts a mark on Cain and tells people not to kill him.
Right.
Why? Because he wants that witness to go into other parts of the world. Because God's got to have a witness, good and bad. "And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground..." Remember, lion, ox, man. I didn't cover the ox, but we don't have time. Man, he's talking to Cain, the man. He's talking to the man Cain. And Cain, right now, is a murderer. But remember... Show me where Cain repented. He never repented. Cain said unto the Lord, oh no, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. And a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, now he's speaking straight to God, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Why in the world are you putting all this on me? He's not repenting a bit about just killing his brother with his own bare hands. Because remember, this is not a long length of time. God's coming down and saying, where's your brother? I don't know where he's at. Ain't none of my business, he said. But Cain now talks back to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me, in other words, shall want to slay me. Wow. And look, it's all about him. No repentance, no sorrowfulness, no nothing, no. He really don't care. He's just worried about himself. Now, what is that? Look at that. And I don't want to say this too loud, but isn't that what a denomination is? That's why Brother Branham, when those seals broke and he saw them white horse riders riding through them denominations, he looked at that right there. Have you ever heard of a Baptist repent of being a Baptist? No, that's their life. Have you heard a Methodist ever say, I'm sorry for being a Methodist? Now, we did when we come into the light of the message, okay? We did because we had a repentant attitude. We're the Abel side now and the Seth side. We're not the Cain side. But if you stayed in that, how many people have you tell? I've been changed. That baptism is wrong. Your baptism, oh, don't tell them that. Cain will rise up, right? That Cain spirit will rise up and say, what do you mean I'm wrong? What do you mean I'm wrong? See that attitude? There's the black horse. If that light in thee be darkness, how great is that dark horse that's riding through us now? How great is that dark horse that's riding through the world? How great is that dark horse that's riding right through the denominations? That's why when the seals broke, Brother Branham saw where the devil was at. Number one, he saw he was really close to him. But he also knew, he said, I wondered why I didn't like them denominations. Why? Because it's the seed of Satan. Sorry, the people are good. Remember, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the spirit that they're under. But now remember, when lust is conceived, brings forth sin. When sin's finished, it brings forth death. So if they continue in that, there's nothing you can do for them. Same way with Cain. Remember, he continued in his doctrine. Never changed his doctrine one bit. Right? Never repented. Never said, I'm sorry. Never said, let me back in the garden. He's saying right now, scroll back down to here. The next one thinking. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day. He's thinking about me. His own self. What do you mean by doctrine of the Baptist and Methodist and Pentecostal and half the people in the message? Hello. Listen, them horse riders are right here. They ain't out there. They're right here. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. Now, God didn't tell him that. He did. The devil is pronounced, Cain is pronouncing his own judgment. Isn't that what we're going to do? We're going to pronounce our own judgment. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain. Now, remember, this was brought up in the message. And they asked a question. And they thought the mark that was put on Cain was black folks, black people. That's not true. That has never been true. I don't care what you think. The mark in me and you is black. All of us. I'm talking about the blackness of the devil. I don't care what your skin color is. There's not a mark put upon nobody except you was born wrong. I don't care who you are. We were all born wrong. And if you're not born again, you're still born wrong. Cain is still wrong. He's still wrong. He thinks he's right. The horse riders are still riding through all the way to today because nobody's going to kill him. God's going to let that doctrine ride all the way to the end time and head up into this right here. Death. And Cain, that's what killed Cain. Not physically killed Cain because he lived hundreds of years. What killed Cain was, is he left the presence of God. So when lust is conceived, brings forth sin. When sin is finished, right here, Cain's sin is finished. He's sealed. But he's not sealed with the Holy Ghost. He's sealed with the seal of Satan all the way to the end time. Because God never said, one time I'm going to drive you out of the garden. No, Cain says, I got to leave the garden. He's telling God what he's going to do. God never says anywhere, I'm going to get you. Did he? He never even said, Cain, you're doomed. Cain decided to leave the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. When lust is conceived, brings forth sin. When sin's finished, brings forth not... Listen, natural death is not even close to spiritual death.
Right.
Spiritual death... Now look, there is no eternal hell, but there is an eternal judgment. Everybody got that? Because once you sealed yourself out, you're going in that direction. So there is an eternal judgment. The Bible even tells us there's an eternal judgment. But Cain decided it right here because you never hear. Now, you know there's a lineage of Cain and you know there's different things. But Cain's never mentioned again except the bad parts.
Right.
He's never mentioned again. He just kind of goes off. But remember, though, his doctrine lives till today.
Right.
His doctrine lives till right now in that pale horse of spiritual death. All the white, the red, the black mixed together. That whole journey that Cain took from the time he was born till the time when he killed his brother up until the time that he rejected God and then he left from the presence of, that's all wrapped up in that pale horse. And that pale horse is death. But guess what, folks? There's also a lion, ox, a man, and an eagle. And the eagle brings us back into the presence of the Lord. This pale horse drives you away from the presence of the Lord. But thank God for the eagle anointing in this end time. That brought us a prophet. That brought us a message. That took us out. Come out of her, my people. Not come out of her and leave me the presence of the Lord. No, walk back into the presence of the Lord. Cain could have done the same thing. He could have stayed and God would have blessed him. But he decided to leave. Nicaea decided to leave the Word of God. Because Satan was there in those people, anointing them. And they were the religious people of the world. Do you know it literally took them 300 extra years to get that doctrine started? From 300 to 606. 306 years. They had another Nicaea Council. Them people been dead for a long time. But that new group come up, that new camp, remember that same doctrine? Walks right back in there 300 years later and says, okay, we're adopting this now. We're going to have Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Jesus was a separate person from God. Hell is eternal. There's now a purgatory in between there. You see what I'm saying? Satan just upped his game. Satan just upped his game. He upped his game when he went into Esau and all these different ones. But here is that ride that he took. But when you come to the very end, Satan left of his own accord. And there's your twins. But remember, it's not musicians come. It is not an exact people. It's not a seed line. It's not a natural seed line. I don't care where you came from. I don't care who your mama and your daddy is. if you're born again, you have moved out of that family anyway. You have moved out of that Cain movement, and you've moved into Abel, which Seth, and then begot this one, and begot that one, and come on down to Jesus Christ. You and I are in that lineage because of the new birth, not because of a natural seed. The natural seed's what's killing you. Let's read these last two quotes. I'll just read them. You jumped the gun. No, I'll just read them. You did what you're supposed to do. Whenever there is a revival, it always produces twins. That's a rude remark, but it's true. When there was a birth from Isaac and Rebekah, it produced twins. When the world was created, it produced twins, two trees. Tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And when Cain and Abel were born, it produced two. When Ishmael and Isaac was born, it produced two. I forgot about Ishmael. And when Esau and Jacob was born, it produced two. One of them natural, one of them of the earth, the other one supernatural. And one looked at the natural, Cain, intelligence, worker of the ground, and the other one walked by the Spirit. It's always been that way. Power transformation. Let's stand to our feet. Number 7, there is always twins. And that's the reason. Don't forget this, little flock. Now, this is 1965. After the seals were open, the church is in the last days. The church in the last days is going to be twins. So close that it'll deceive the elected, Matthew 24:24. The church is going to, it's a Pentecostal move. It's so much like the real thing till it would deceive the very elect if it were possible. And a little later on, if I get the chance, I want to explain how the election comes. See, it's going to deceive them because it's almost like the same thing. See, just two fathers, that's all. Same mother, same church, same movement, same thing. But it's two daddies. What is the mother? Church. Church is always a woman, right? That's what he's talking about. This is not his quote. Now I'm going back to what he's saying. The bedding ground is the same where the word falls. But one of them is perverted. You understand? Say amen. See, one of them is a perversion because it's the wrong father, which I will prove someday if God will let me that denomination is the mark of the beast. See, it's the wrong father. He is stirring people to an organization instead of the word. See, it's the wrong father. It's a Cain movement. Wow. Why am I against organized religion? It's not the people. It's that thing that looks so close. It's the white horse. Don't tell them people are filthy. I was talking to our neighbor yesterday, Jerry Ferguson. Good Methodist. Good neighbor. He said, you know what? He said, I stood up in the church the other day, and I was surprised he did that. And he said, I told them people that there's no way a Christian to vote Democrat. I looked at him, and I said, you said that to them people, and you're still alive? Because it's true. But you see, that's the denominational idea, because he was looking at the abortion and everything the Democratic Party stands for. And I think it's all of the devil. We know that. But for him to say that, though, even in an organization, but see, he's still got the problem. Sorry. The problem, though, is that the horse rider, unless he comes to the truth, right. He's part of that system. Right. Even being so sincere that he made his point well known, he's still part of that system. That's how close that thing is. Right. Good people in those denominations. Brother Branham, he apologized many times, but he never apologized for talking against that organization. The system that's got them caught. That Cain system that is still riding today. And you know what? It's going to ride, brothers and sisters, until we take a body change. Because when we take a body change, what's the fourth horse rider?
Right.
Death. What's the last thing we got to have destroyed?
Glory.
Death. That red, pale, or that red, black, that pale horse is what we got to defeat. Because
right.
There's your death. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Pale horse, you need to ride in that direction. Because if not, he's still riding in us. But death is going to be destroyed by a group of people that understands the two spirits. And you and I can never, listen to me, never separate it. Because we'll be deceived every time, Eve. But remember, he proclaimed that the second Eve would not be deceived. She will see the two spirits and separate the two spirits and know that one is Antichrist and one is of Christ. Thank God that that was pronounced on me and you. Because we have hope now. Not hope, we have an assurity. We have an assurity that somebody is going to come to that. And those horse riders are going to go away. You know what? They're just going to stay down here. The only thing that's leaving is a lion, ox, man, and the eagle. The Holy Ghost is going to lift off the earth. And then white horse, red horse, pale horse. Listen, when that Satan Superman stands over there in the temple of God showing himself to be as God, fulfilling the scripture, he still thinks he's good. And the world will bow to him. Why are we worried about a president? You need to worry about that guy. You need to worry about not being able to see him. Because you missed something.
That's right, brother. Amen.
You missed a rapture if you see that. That man.
Oh, yeah.
And you, well, you know what that means? You got caught up in that system. That thing's still riding through you. Let's get rid of that.
Yes.
Let's don't worry. We love natural healing, but let's take the spiritual healing.
Come on.
And let's let that spiritual healing just push everything out.
Right.
Know that Cain movement. God sent us a prophet to show us that Cain movement. Showed us where it was at.
That's right.
And when the seals broke, he said, oh, the Bible became a brand new book. Why? He saw that white horse rider all the way from Cain, then all the way down riding, just like he was going to preach the trail of the serpent. Same thing. That's the trail of the serpent. It's the serpent seed in the beginning. It's going to be serpent seed in the end. Through a beast system. But it's going to head up in one person. But you know what? Christ, our head, is going to head up in a body.
Right.
Me and you.
Glory.
The only body God has now on earth is me and you.
Right.
Don't worry about anything that's going to happen. God's already pronounced
right. That
you and I are going to make it.
Lord.
Doesn't matter.
Lord.
She will not fall like Eve fell. That wasn't William Branham talking, folks. That was God Almighty speaking.
Amen.
Directly to me and you. Just like if the Lord can speak to Cain, why can't he speak to me and you?
Amen.
The capital L-O-R-D.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's sing a song. Sorry.
Of Anchor in Jesus, 157. Upon lies bound this ocean world.
Mighty billows roll.
I fix my hope in Jesus.
Blessed anchor of my soul. That would be page 157.
Will sail me as storms are gathered on. I rest upon
His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus. The storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus. I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I've anchored in Jesus. Have you anchored?
The storms of life brave. I've anchored.
you took the word of God and put it down where God, Satan can't find it.
I've anchored in the rock of ages. He is my friend and savior. In him my anchor cast. He drives away my sorrow and shields me from the blast. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me.
Back to the Garden of Eden. All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ poured into the church, taking us back into the presence of Almighty God. Don't ever walk away from the presence of God. Amen. Don't ever. Don't ever walk away from God. And he'll never drive you away either. He says, come unto me. Oh, if he'd have been standing in the garden, Abel would have still made the same choice. But when he got down here on the earth, and he said, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, a group of people took that to heart. They said, oh, Lord, we don't want to ever get away from your presence. He said, now I got to go away. He said, I got to go away. He said, but I'll come back. The world won't see me no more, but you'll see me. For I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. In other words, what? I'm going to give you something to live by. And all you got to do is believe what I said. You can read about all these people in here, you know. Well, you can read about Cain and Abel and all these things, but I've sealed the book until the end time. And there's one group of people. Not 960 different denominations. There's actually almost 13,000 different denominations now. So, there's only one God's going to speak to. That's going to take Christ and his word. The rest will be deceived. Sorry, the rest of this world is in a deception, except for the bride of Jesus Christ. Because that's what he said. He said, for the elect's sake, I'm going to cut this work short. But look at it now. All this unsettling in the world. We're here. Is it going to get better? No, probably not. But like I said before, don't sit around and say, don't be like Cain. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? Oh, don't ever ask God that. Don't ever. Take, if you're a son and daughter of God, it's got to be for your good. God will not put anything on you that's not going to help you. So if you go through a trial and a tribulation, we really don't want to say, Lord, pour it on. But whatever it takes to get me in the right direction. Because we're sheep. Sheep have to be led. The shepherd sometimes has to break a leg to keep the one little old sheep from jumping over the fence. But you know what? He's a good God. He does it with nail-scarred hands. He does it with, just like he did Cain. He came down to Cain and personally said, Cain, if you'll do well, please. But remember, he couldn't override Cain's free moral agency. He couldn't override that. But he did offer it to Cain, and Cain said, nope, I'm going in that direction. Don't do that. That is the worst death than just dying a natural death. Is to be alive, but yet be dead. The Bible said she is dead while she liveth. If you're not born again today, you're a dead man or a dead woman walking. Sorry. That's just the way it is. Get born again. Make sure that God is in your soul. Make sure that you know that you know that you know. It's good to know that Brother Dale knows, but that's secondhand information. You need to know who you're serving today. One way or the other, you're serving But Jesus told him, he said, you can't serve two at the same time. You got to serve one or the other. Amen? So you decide which one. Let's bow our heads. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the time that we have. Lord, we appreciate, Lord, the word that we're built on here, Father, that we can preach freely to the people and they understand, Lord, what we're talking about. We know it's your Holy Spirit, Lord, speaking through an open book so that we can see with both eyes open. And as we sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, we're not opening our eyes to the world, but Lord, we're opening our eyes looking towards you, Father, the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we pray that you be with each one, be with these ministers as they take off to different places this weekend, Lord. Be with us next week, Lord, as we go to Illinois, and a couple weeks after that, Dad and I are going to be leaving, going to hunt for a few days. Father, we pray that you'd just be with the people. Sanctify us in this journey that we're in. Lord, may we realize that you're right here with us. You have orchestrated this because your little bride is here. Because when we leave this earth, literally all hell's going to break loose. But not while we're here. All these little trials and tribulations, yes, Lord. But you know what? That's driving us to you, not away from you. Please don't let it... Please, brothers and sisters, don't let this drive you away from God. Because he's calling, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Father, we depend on that. We thank you, Lord, for the people that are here. We pray if anybody needs healing in their body, Lord, you're the healer. You're the one that knows what we need. You are the one that knows our spiritual standing. And I pray, Lord, that we'll tonight, as we lay down to take a natural rest, that, Lord, we will find peace. And that we'll, the Prince of Peace will take over in our hearts and our lives. Father, forgive us of our sins. Bless this day. Give us our daily bread. Be with us on the highways, going home. And the furtherment of the week, Lord, come back together to talk about you, Lord, on Sunday. And to honor our pastor, Father, we pray that you just be with each one. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Is light pure gold, and God is real, for I can feel.